Hello, it's always good to be with you and great to be with you again, although in very strange times. But I'm very grateful for all the advances we have in technology and that we can gather like this. But hopefully not for much longer, we can get back to seeing one another again soon. When I've preached here before, Dave has often asked me to pick up on the regions beyond value of being devoted to missions, which I know that as a church you are. But this time, Dave changed the title ever so slightly and he said, "Oh, Jazz, it's about having a heart for the nations. Can you focus on that and what it is that cultivates having a heart for the nations?" We know that we're all called to do the work of evangelists. We also know that we all have a part to play in what we call the Great Commission, you know, that little bit that's found at the end of Matthew 28, when Jesus is speaking and he says this: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And even as I'm speaking, some of you are feeling a little bit uncomfortable, the thought of having to evangelize, and I get that. And actually in this past year, it's been harder still when our physical world has become very small. But actually the internet has opened up a whole new world, and actually people, it's been statistically proven already that people are engaging with church much more because they can access church online. We know that we're all called to make disciples, but that can feel like an overwhelming responsibility. We aren't called to make converts though, because that's God's, you know, that's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is simply to be faithful with the bit that God has given us to do. And in all of this and all the stuff that I've said, and I know that you know it's important, out of all of this, we've only got one calling though. Our primary calling is, above all else, is to worship God. The greatest command is to love God. And then everything else falls in underneath this. We can't have a heart for the nations unless we have a heart for God. If we try and do it by ourselves, we'll run out of steam very quickly. We'll get disillusioned. Things will distract us. Our enthusiasm and worship of God is the thing that ignites our passion for the nations. We won't have a passion for the nations unless we have a passion for God. Worshipping him is our highest calling. You know, we are called to jump into his presence, to dive headlong into his grace, to marvel at his works, to really enjoy him, to really engage with him. We're called to delight in his kindness, to revel in his mercy, to be deeply satisfied in him. Like, you know, like breathing him in, just being able to breathe and just knowing the presence of God. We need to be thrilled at his generosity. And above all, you know, completely grateful for the saving, redeeming, cleansing and perfect work of Jesus. And we remind ourselves continually that it's nothing that we did. We didn't choose God. God chose us. It was everything that he did. And so actually, as a response to everything that he has done, as a response to the life that he has given us, we need to worship him. That is the right response, to be able to adore him and declare who he is and to declare his faithfulness and his goodness. And we stir worship up, and sometimes that's hard work, but we make a choice to do it. We have to remind ourselves of all the things that God has done. We speak out scripture to ourselves and to one another. We can sing songs and we worship him. Because it's only when we are white hot worshippers that we can begin to have a heart for the nations. This morning I want to look at Psalm 67. I'm just going to read it to you. And it says this: "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God. Our God blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And actually, this psalm just really reflects a consistent theme that runs all the way throughout all of Scripture, God's heart for the nations, that all the people in the whole wide world would worship God. On reading this psalm, you quickly understand that the psalmist, first of all, teaches us that God's purpose is to be known and praised and enjoyed and feared among all the nations. In verse 2, to be known. In verse 3, to be praised. In verse 4, to be enjoyed. In verse 7, to be feared. But this psalm also reveals what God wants people to know about him, that he's the God of justice, a God of power, and a God of grace. Verse 4 picks up that theme that he's the God of justice and power, and then verse 1 we're reminded that God is gracious. There is only one true and living God, and he wills it to be known by all the peoples of the whole world. God wants to be known for who he really is. He is just and he is gracious and he is powerful. And so our praise and our glory are actually rooted in reality, not in imagination. And we're able to really demonstrate God's worth and glory. The psalmist here is quoting the Old Testament scriptures, and that particular verse that we started with is found in Numbers. And actually, over the last year, we've been singing that as a song. It's become a bit of an anthem. May the Lord bless us and keep us and be gracious toward us, make his face shine upon us. But actually, in this particular psalm, there's one word that just completely changes the whole context for me, and it's the word that. And you see it in verse 2, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth. Because when you see that word that and you emphasize it, it changes its entire context. The reason that God blesses us is not so that we'll have a nice cozy life. We are blessed in order that we may make him known to all the nations on earth. God blesses his people for the sake of the nations, and therefore God is most likely to bless us when we are planning and longing and praying to bless the nations, to make the nations glad in God. And this theme is woven all the way through the Bible, and we see it in the original promise made to Abraham. So back in Genesis 12 we can read, I will make you a great nation. This is God promising Abram. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. And I make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The psalmist took the original promise made to Abram and he turned it into a prayer. And therefore, when we pray a blessing on ourselves, it's actually for the sake of the nations. Not because God is using us, because he's not a using God, is he? It's because he loves the nations and because he knows that our joy increases when it expands into the lives of others. In other words, when we are asking for God's blessing on us for the sake of the nations, we are also asking for our joy to be full. You know, about deep satisfaction. Prayer, of course, has a crucial place in the mission of the church. We are called to pray. But praying is no substitute for going. We absolutely have to pray. And when we pray, because we're praying to the God of the universe, the God who holds all things in his hands, the God who sustains everything in this universe, amazing things happen. When we pray, lives are changed. And when we begin to recognize to whom we're praying, it just kind of blows your mind. Yes, you can pray for a parking space, absolutely, and God answers those prayers. But actually, when we're praying to the God of the universe, he can transform a nation through our prayers. It's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? We're called to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we understand that our Jerusalem is our immediate environment, our family, our locale, the people that we're engaging with day in, day out. We understand our Judea to be the town or the city that we live in. And we understand our Samaria to be the nation. But actually, we're also called to go to the ends of the earth. Now, we're really privileged because we get to actually reach huge numbers of people groups without even moving, because the nations of the world are actually on our doorstep. And actually, maybe you're a part of Unity Church and you've come from a different nation, and in coming you're being a blessing to this nation. But so some of you listening this morning and you're just thinking, oh, I wonder, is God calling me somewhere else? Is there a stirring in you, an awakening in you for a different nation, a different people group, a different tribe or a tongue? Is he awakening or reawakening a longing to go and serve a nation? Maybe to be bold, to move overseas, to be part of a community that needs to know the wonder and the majesty of God. Some of you will say here, absolutely, most of you will, I'm sure, but I am confident that even those of you listening in your home right now, you're like, I wonder if God is saying something. And so can I provoke you today to come humbly before God to see if he's speaking to you? And if he is, begin to explore it, begin to talk about it. Talk about it with the leadership here at church. Please don't wait till you've got it all together. Don't wait till the kids have grown up and left home, or when you retire, or when you've got enough money, or when you've learnt the language, or whatever other obstacle you might think you can put in your way. You know, if you're thinking, oh, God's just really stirring that in me, then please, please, I'm encouraging you to go and speak to the leadership here and see what doors God is opening up. Be a sending church. Of course, the thing is being part of Regions Beyond is that we're part of a global family. And Regions Beyond has churches all over the world, you know, North and South America, and then all the way over to Australia and Africa and the Philippines, India, Dubai, Pakistan, the list goes on. And actually, we get to pray for one another, and we know people in these nations who are leading churches, who are serving churches, and we get to pray for those churches. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were praying for Donna Bloomfield, who leads the work in Burundi, and she asked us specifically to pray about the harvest, and she was teaching Farming God's Way. It's an initiative that they were doing in Burundi, and there was this disease on the crop, and we all prayed, and they had just this incredible harvest that actually made their national news. And so we can pray for other nations, and we can all do that where we are. We can also support financially, you know, certainly when natural disasters have happened, we've been asked to give money, and we've done that generously, and we've been able to support our brothers and sisters in other nations. Being part of a global family of churches means that we can join in. And actually, we've got a brilliant way of doing that coming up in a couple of weeks' time. We've got our Gather as One conference. Actually, it's going out live. It's on Saturday, 27th of March at 9:30 in the morning. It's going out live to the whole world. So different nations will be watching it in different time zones. Just be glad you're not in America, because they've got to watch it at 1:30 in the morning. But it's actually 9:30 is quite a reasonable time for us. So can I just ask you to put that date in your diary, to make it really important, just to be able to, again, hear what God is doing around the world, to be able to pray with one another and just see what God is saying to you in all of this. But as I come into land this morning, I want to remind you that our primary calling is to love God and to worship him. John Piper wrote this. It's just a quote from him. It says, when we move toward the unreached peoples, we are not earning God's blessing. We are leaping into the river of blessing that is already flowing to the nations. We don't go to the nations to earn God's blessing. We are already blessed. But actually, when we are going to the nations, we're jumping in to what God is already doing. We're just jumping into his flow, which I think is incredible. We are blessed in order that we can go to the ends of the earth. God's desire is for every people group to be reached, and we are part of that plan. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you that you are absolutely for us, that you go before us. And I thank you that our primary calling is to worship you. And we do. We love you with all of our hearts. We are so thrilled for the way that you have rescued us and called us by name, for the way that you've established us, the way that you've set us free, the life that you have given us. Thank you for your blessing over our lives. And Father, I pray, would you continue to pour out blessing in order that we may be a blessing, that we would go to the ends of the earth to see people come to know you. Amen.